Hey, you guys, what's going on? Why is it? I swear to God, I can't do a literal single thing without him laughing at me or making fun of me for some reason.
It's funny.
You're making me like so self-conscious. I can't even talk or anything anymore because it's like,
no.
For some reason it's funny, even though I'm just being normal. I don't really understand what your fucking deal is.
No, I thought it was just a funny intro.
It's not a funny intro. It's the same fucking shit I talk like all the time.
Okay.
It's like, why is the camera so weird? I was just trying to get fucking Spock in there.
We're gonna talk about House of the Clock and its Walls. Jenny read this one when she was a kid in the book. I saw it. I saw the book. I never read it when I was a kid. You know what I mean? They had it at the library. I remember in the third grade. But the movie was pretty good. We probably can't do a real long show though because. We gotta go see Dune.
Yeah, we're gonna go see Dune, and we have to leave at probably 3:30.
Yeah, so
probably an hour.
We have to keep this one kind of.
And I'm gonna say too that it's I'm pretty sure that because House with a Clock in Its Walls came out in 2018, so I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know we saw it in the theater because we had the AMC shit back then, and so we probably did cover this or review it after we saw it in the movie. But I think that was before we were doing the live stream format. So we probably just recorded a 5-minute reaction to it, and it's just, you know what I mean? So I feel it was a long time ago. So I was kind of well, I don't know if I want to redo the same movie again, but then I was then again, you know, I just bought it because they had the DVD for really cheap at FYE, and I was and I kind of wanted to rewatch it and see if I liked it as much the second time. So we just watched it last, because I was kind of in the mood to watch it last night, because it's kind of, even though it's not really set at Halloween, it is kind of a Halloween-y type vibe of a movie, you know what I mean? It has kind of that Goosebumps kind of shit too.
Better.
I kind of feel it's not quite as juvenile. There is some kind of juvenile things in it, but it's not quite as.
It's at the same level of maybe Harry Potter.
Yeah, and it's weird because I was kind of reading some reviews of this, and I was thinking if you didn't know that this was based on an old novel from 1973. You could be forgiven for thinking, oh, it's just another cash-in of all, you know, kind of the YA fantasy stuff that came in, you know, Harry Potter and then the wake of it. But I was but the book of this was actually way older, predates Harry Potter by quite a significant margin.
The Harry Potter stuff was probably ripping this off.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it was ripping it off because I kind of feel like this is a pretty common trope in YA fantasy and was even back in the day when John Bellairs first wrote the novel. And honestly, this is not just one novel. It's a whole series. And I think initially when I read them, because I read the first three, and I actually have the first three. They actually, a couple years back, they put all three of the first trilogy in one big hardback. And I have that. But I think that there were there ended up being 12 books about this kid, about Lewis Barnevelt, which I actually didn't even realize. The first book, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, that was easily my favorite book growing up. I must have read it 40 bajillion times. And I think one of the things I liked about it, I just liked the whole vibe of it. It was just this really creepy. I liked it because it was set back in the 50s. And it just had this really gothic sort of sensibility to it. It wasn't super over the top or wacky or anything like that. It just had this really creepy, low-key kind of mystery element to it. And I think another thing that helped a lot was that Edward Gorey did the illustrations, for the main. And so I kind of feel like I read the two subsequent ones, which were good, but I didn't like them as much as the first one. I mean, the first one, when I read that as a kid, I was like, I want to live in this book. You know what I mean? Just the whole atmosphere of it was just magical to me. I just loved all the description of the house and everything. And so for a long time, and I think I wrote something on my blog a long time ago about this, because I was kind of look, this book came out in 1973 when I was one, you know, and then I probably read it the first time when I was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I fucking adored it. And then as I got older, and especially after Harry Potter was this massive success and they started making all these movies Percy Jackson or whatever, you know, and a lot of the other franchises, I was like, why has nobody made a movie out of House with a Clock in Its Walls? Because one, that's a whole series also, and that would be awesome. And it amazed me that it took until 2018, I think this is the only John Bel Air's book that's been made into a movie at this point, which is mind-blowing to me. Yeah. Because the book, and it wasn't just me, it was a really, really popular book when I was a kid. I think it won a Newbery Medal and like all kind of stuff. So it was definitely one that a lot of kids read and a lot of kids were really into it. And so it just amazed me that it took that long. I think it had been in sort of like production hell for a really long time, or development hell, I mean. And so that's why it took so long. And so, I mean, when we went to see this in the theater, I had like really, really high expectations because I was like, man, I've been waiting for years for some fucker to like make this into a movie. And finally somebody did. And it's like, the movie came out really good, I thought. It's not, there's a lot of stuff that they could have put in the movie that was in the book that I think would have made it cooler. But I mean, it's a pretty solid effort, I gotta say. And I had forgotten, again, that Eli Roth directed this. Eli Roth, who also directed Hostel and The Green Inferno, that cannibal movie, and like all those. Like, you know, obviously he's just known for doing horror, right? And the fact that he was able to do a movie like this, which is kind of like a throwback to the old days of like the 80s, of like a horror movie, but for kids.
Yeah, it has a lot of horror elements.
Yeah, like Gremlins or Goonies or something like that, where there's like scary shit in it, but it's still like a kid's movie.
Ghostbusters, about that.
That kind of stuff.
Humor in it.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that I think that I kind of wish that they hadn't put. I know why they put it in there. Like, they have some kind of like, you know, poop humor. There's the pooping lion hedge or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a repeating thing, which, you know, fine. I get that kids like poop jokes and farting and stuff, so it's like, that's funny. That wasn't in the book. Honestly, I don't even think... Shit, was there even a lion? I don't remember there being, like, a lion out in the garden. I remember there being, like, a really cool garden with the what do they call that thing? They're like the bird bath with the moon and everything, but...
Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
I don't think that...
A fountain?
No, bird bath. I said it. Bird bath.
All right.
Poop and fart jokes. Yeah, it's like that was so. I kind of feel like they could have done without that, because the thing that I always liked about this book, and I think that they really did kind of capture some of this in the movie, was that it was, I guess, because it was set in the 50s and it had kind of a gothic sensibility. So it was kind of like classy. So I kind of feel like putting the poop and fart stuff in there was just kind of like, it was a little tonally off to me.
I didn't really notice it because it wasn't real. It was a hedge animal.
Yeah.
It wasn't shit. It was just a bunch of brown leaves.
It came out of his butt.
Yeah. So I didn't really think... I didn't really consider it to be fucking shit jokes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's what they're
supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what they're for. Right? But like I said, little kids like that kind of stuff. But yeah, so there... But honestly, I think that... Even though I don't know, I was trying to think to myself while I was watching it last night. I was kind of like, if I was making this into a movie like during, you know, the modern era, I'm not sure if I would have thought of Jack Black playing Uncle Jonathan. But watching it, I was like, yeah, I think he was probably a really good choice. Because I guess, I don't know, like in my mind, I always kind of thought of Uncle Jonathan from the book, I guess because of Edward Gorey's drawings and stuff like that, as... I almost kind of thought of him as like Bob Ross, but a little bit chunkier and with a big, huge like ZZ Top beard. I kind of thought of him like that. That's a little bit like how Edward Gorey drew him. But Jack Black actually did a good job. He captured a lot of that kind of like, he's an adult, but he's kind of like this whimsical. And he has like a little bit of a sinister thing too, but not really. Like, he's like kind of charming, but he's also kind of like wacky.
I had no connection to the movie or anything at all. I just watched it for what it was, and I like some of Jack Black stuff, you know what I mean? So I just saw it. I just watched it as a Jack Black movie, and I liked it just on that level.
He was in Goosebumps too. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see the first one. I think we saw Goosebumps 2. What the fuck? It had a second to like a subtitle, Goosebumps 2 Electric Boogaloo. It wasn't that. But I remember we saw that in the theater. And Jack Black was in that too, but I think he was only in it a little bit. But I think that he was in the first one, like, more. But I didn't see the first one. I never really got into the Goosebumps stuff. I guess just because that's more a 90s kid thing. And I was kind of more a 70s and 80s kid. So that was more like when my sister was younger, she was like reading the Goosebumps books and stuff, you know, my younger sister. So I kind of feel like I didn't have the same connection to those, but you know, they're still good and everything. But I have to say, another thing they changed from the book was that in the book, Lewis, the main kid, was actually kind of like real overweight, like not super, super fat, but he was just like, you know, chubby. And that was kind of one thing. They did kind of actually make him very unathletic in the movie, which, you know, that was also in the book. Like, he was a very bookish kid and he couldn't play sports and stuff. But in the book, he was also like kind of chubby, and they kind of brought that up a lot of times. And I will say, too, that Cate Blanchett was absolutely really, really good as Mrs. Zimmerman. I really, really liked her. I think when I was reading the book, I thought of her as like a really old woman. But, you know, which obviously Cate Blanchett isn't that old, but I think she really kind of sold it. And also, again, she kind of classed up the joint a little bit. My favorite thing about this is the production design. The inside of that house looks amazing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I pictured it when I was reading the book.
The strong points of the movie is that it's a solid production. It's got good special effects. It's got real solid storytelling. And it's kind of like fun for the whole family. I wouldn't really call it a kids movie. It's kids would like it, and adults could tolerate it, you know, because you got to take the kids to the movie. And you can enjoy it because there's some adult stuff that was kind of snuck in there, you know what I mean? I don't want to say innuendos, but some of the stuff you can read between the lines, I think, you know. Just was kind of like adult humor in there. A kid probably wouldn't pick up on it, though. I don't remember exactly what it was, though.
And there is kind of, and I think I said this the first time that we saw it in the theater, was that I really hope that this sort of heralds, because, you know, I feel like the 80s was kind of like the heyday of, like I said, family-friendly movies that were still kind of scary.
Yeah.
And kids love that shit. Yeah. I mean, I love that shit. Most kids love that shit.
Yeah, it had some good horror elements to it. You know what I mean? Like the bad guy, he's like a lich, I guess.
Yeah, well, he was an evil wizard, and he gets brought back from the dead.
I think that would be
so. That yeah, there's some necromancy going on in this shit too.
Yeah.
Kyle MacLachlan plays him. Yeah, I had forgotten. One thing that I wish they had done more. I wish they had done more with Kyle MacLachlan, like, because he's great, like as the villain. He's, you know, he's like an evil wizard that died, and then Lewis sort of accidentally like brings him back from the dead. And it's kind of like, I don't know if this is really that clear in the movie, but in the book, Lewis didn't know that he was bringing the evil wizard back from, and I'm pretty sure he didn't know in the movie either. He was just trying to bring somebody back from the dead so he could show his friend Tarby how cool he was, because he's like, look, I can do necromancy and I can bring somebody back from the dead. And he just picked like a tomb at random because it had a neat symbol on it, which was like an omega, when he didn't know what that was. And so he just went there and did the spell, not realizing that it was the evil wizard who had owned the house previously and had put the clock in there. I think, too, like in the book, and I guess I can see why they did this from the movie, but in the book, the inside of the house like wasn't all clockwork, because I feel like they do like that big clockwork thing where at the end and they have to like put the thing in it to stop it. In the book, I'm pretty sure it was just a regular clock. It was just like magically hid somewhere so they couldn't find it, and it was counting down to doomsday. That's why they had to find it, because if they didn't find it, then the world was going to end. I think they added the stuff about Isaac being in the war and like wanting to wipe the earth clean and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember that being in the book, so that might have been like an additional backstory. But I kind of wish that they had brought Isaac back earlier in the film and had him do more shit. Because I remember very clearly in the book, there was a great scene where Jonathan and Florence and Lewis are driving back from somewhere, like they go out to dinner or something like that. And they're driving back and there's a car like chasing them. And there's a thing where, and they do this a little bit in the movie, where Isaac has these little round spectacles. And then there's always like this, you know, like light on them. So it looks like these creepy eyes. And so there was like this car chasing them, and there's like a really good scene in the book where there's like this really, really scary car chase in the middle of the night with, they're pretty sure, the wizard or agents of the wizard like chasing them, and it's really, really good, and they didn't really put that in the movie, which is kind of a shame. But so I kind of wish they had brought him back like earlier on in the movie so they could do more with him, because he was a great character. But the thing about it is that I'm pretty sure this movie actually did really well. I think it made like $130 million or something. It was like the top one the week it came out. So I'm imagining that eventually they will probably make at least the first trilogy, because they did introduce, what's her face? Shit. What's that little girl's name? Rose something, who was kind of a big player in the second book. Like her and Lewis like team up like on their next mystery. And then, like I said, it goes on to like a dozen books, I think it was. But they do introduce her at the end of this as like him making friends with her, because she's into the same nerdy shit that he's into. Yeah. And so I feel like they're going to go that route. And I imagine they probably will, because, like I said, it made a lot of money.
Yuri said the movie was dull. I don't believe the movie was dull, especially not compared to the other shit that was happening that weekend.
I mean, honestly, I kind of liked, and they added some kind of Harry Pottery stuff to it. Like, you know, there is like a lot of magic in the book, and the kid is learning to use magic. But you know, obviously, they had to put like CGI and special effects and stuff like that in the book, and they kind of like had to pump that up. Yeah. But I kind of like that they retained a lot of the sort of like classy sort of vibe of the novel, because the novel has a lot of fantasy shit in it, but it's not like real over the top. Oh, another thing that I wish they had kind of put in is that I don't know if this really has much to do with like the main story, so that's probably why they cut it out, but in the book also Jonathan had this kind of like a telescope kind of thing, or like that thing, the scope like you have on a ship or something like that.
Yeah.
And he had that, and you could look through it and you could see anything from history that you wanted to see.
Like a sextant?
So I think it was something like that. I mean, I think and there's kind of like a really cool sequence where Lewis is in there like watching this old like battle or something. It was like the Spanish Armada or whatever. And so like I said, I don't know if that had anything to do with like the overarching story, but it was just kind of like, it kind of went into this whole atmosphere of like this little kid who's just lost his parents and he's sent to live with this relative who he's never met before. And then all of a sudden it turns out that his relative is actually like a warlock, and the neighbor is a witch, and the house is like magical, like it has kind of like all these the stained glass windows changing and stuff. I'm glad that they put that in the movie, because I really liked that aspect of the book.
They just did a good job of just trying to keep the movie within the boundaries of what this movie's supposed to be. You know what I mean? It's basically Harry Potter, but it was the original. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's to it's got to be fun for the whole family. So they're working within a certain framework.
Yeah.
And I said it did pretty well.
Yeah, it was very charming and fun. Yeah. And, you know, and I really like I said, I like that they had the same vibe as the book. I really like the design of the house, because that's kind of what I was picturing. They added a few things to kind of like modernize it, or, you know, make it more in line with, you know, YA fantasy of nowadays. So, you know, I get that they had to do that. And I like that there's some stuff in there that's pretty scary. I mean, the evil wizard is pretty scary. I mean, he's a walking corpse pretty much, and he looks kind of fucked up. And you know, so there's stuff in there about World War II a little bit, how people, whole families dying and shit. That's that kind of stuff in there. And then there's in like the basement of the house, and I don't remember if this, I don't think this was in the original book either, but there's like a room of like all these like creepy mechanical dolls and like robots and stuff, and they all come to life at some point, and that's like pretty creepy. Yeah. So I kind of feel like if kids are really into horror, but you know, are still too young to see like real scary horror movies, then this is probably something. And if I'd seen this when I was a kid, I'd have been all over this shit. Holy crap.
We saw the theater and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I remember really liking it.
Just, you know, like seeing Ghostbusters or something, you know, somewhere, Goonies, Gremlins, shit like that.
Fourth Drawer Down said, I wonder if this is where Stephen King got the idea for the hedge animals. Well, probably not, because I think the hedge animal was only in this movie. I don't remember the hedge animal being in the book. The book came out in, like, 1973, like I said. So, yeah, it did predate The Shining, but I'm pretty sure the hedge animals weren't in the book, although I could be wrong. It's been a couple years since I've reread the book. Mr. Roboto says, so Jenny and Tom, what's the deal with the clock? The clock was actually put there, and like I said, I'm not sure if they're very super clear with this in the movie, but the clock was put there by the evil wizard it's a doomsday clock. When it stops ticking, or when it gets to midnight or whatever, the world will end. And so the evil wizard, he did that, and then like he hid it in his house, and then he died. So when Jonathan took the house over, he kept hearing the clock, but he didn't know what the clock was for. But he knew that because Isaac Izzard had made it, that it was probably something really, really bad, and that when it stopped ticking, some really bad shit was going to happen. He didn't know it was like going to be the end of the world. But so that's why, like at the beginning, like one of the best early scenes is when Lewis first gets there and he hears something like creaking around at night, and he goes down the hall and his uncle's out there just like listening at all the walls because he's looking to see like where the clock is, because he knows he has to find it before it strikes midnight, or before it's, because it's, I think it's like, I can't remember if the ticking is like slowing down or speeding up. I can't remember what it was, but he knows he has to find it before that, even though he doesn't find out until later, until they find some of the papers and everything like that, like what the clock actually does. But it does, it will actually make the world end. I think that in the movie they specify more that it's the end of the world, but it's also that Isaac wants to basically wipe everybody off the earth so that him and his wife Selena will be the only people left, so they can like run everything, so they can like start over.
We're gonna have to shut this down. I gotta go put the food away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. This is kind of short, I know, but like I said, we're gonna go see Dune.
Yeah.
And so we gotta go get some candy and get a drink, and it's kind of a long drive to the movie theater. And we have to go put the curry away.
Yeah.
So we'll be back tomorrow talking about Dune, because we're gonna go see it right now. So thanks everybody for dropping by, and we will see you guys tomorrow.